ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరత చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద య ఆదికవయే ముహ్యంది యల్ సురయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ పూజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తుశివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా భరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్. నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయా తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాతృదానందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారేర్మధురీం కణికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణీ శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశా యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీదాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతి సుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్ కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. కంటిన్యూయింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ రామాయణం వేర్ వి స్టాప్డ్ లాస్ట్ సండే. We were discussing about the meeting of Lord Ramachandra with Sugriva and subsequently the killing of Bali. And in Ramayanam there are totally 7 cantos. Unlike in Srimad Bhagavatam where we have 12 cantos, Ramayanam has 7 very, very vast cantos, 24,000 verses and 7 cantos. So to discuss Ramayanam like Srimad Bhagavatam, it takes a lot more time. But still, because we have now come to that stage in Bhagavatam where we are discussing the 2 chapters of Lord Ramachandra, it's necessary that we have some understanding of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes in Ramayanam and the instructions what Ramachandra has given and Valmiki has given through Ramayanam. So Ramayanam, what Valmiki presented, which later on many other great personalities summarized, has a lot of important messages also. It is not simply a story of Lord Ramachandra fighting, killing Ravana and coming back to Ayodhya and taking over the administration and getting Sita Devi back. What does all this means also is important to understand. That you will find here that when when Taraka, after killing Bali, was killed, Ramachandra realized the situation with Tara. Tara was Bali's wife, who also wanted to be killed along with her husband. So she approached Ramachandra and asked Ramachandra also to kill her and send her back with Bali. But Tara was instructed by Ramachandra in transcendental knowledge at that time. This is what you find in the Ramayanam. That Ramachandra instructed Tara on the transcendental knowledge, just like Krishna instructed Arjuna with Bhagavad Gita. In a similar way, Tara was instructed by Ramachandra and all her illusion has gone. So you can see, no matter what kind of body we have in this world, unless and until we come into contact with the Supreme Lord or understand the instructions of the Supreme Lord, our illusion remains with us. That illusion won't leave us easily. So these incidents in Bhagavatam and Ramayanam is telling us that when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, and Krishna spoke to so many devotees in the same way, Ramachandra also spoke to many different living entities. Sometimes there were birds, sometimes there were demons, sometimes there were women, sometimes there were hunters. All different kinds of species of people mentioned in the Ramayanam, you find that they were all released from their material bondage. In other words, this material existence under the 3 modes of nature. This is the beauty of Ramachandra's instructions in Ramayanam. That when Ramachandra instructed, Tara understood. There was no more doubts about anything. And therefore, in the Ramayanam, while referring to these instructions from Ramachandra to Tara, which is Bali's wife, Tara acknowledges to Ramachandra that as soon as I heard these instructions from you, my misunderstandings or misgivings have gone. In fact, which shows that every one of us in this material world live with complete misgivings. None of us have any knowledge, perfect knowledge of the truth. And therefore, in other words, what Bhagavatam says is, and Krishna says also, that Maya that separates us, or the wall that's been built between us and Krishna, is that strong wall of Maya that keeps us away from understanding Krishna. And when Krishna wants to reveal to us, Maya cannot stop it. Maya cannot stop it. So that is why constantly we have to pray to Krishna to receive that mercy, that Maya may not come and disturb us in our spiritual life. So looking at this, Tara was released from her material consciousness and she felt extremely blissful and satisfied after hearing from Ramachandra. Then it was then that Ramachandra instructed Sugriva that he should burn the body of Bali properly, cremate it, and all the rites has to be performed according to the Shastra. So Sugriva and with all the other associates, monkeys together, they pull Bali's body to the river shore and they burned Bali's body, and all the funeral rites were performed according to the Shastric injunctions. Ramachandra was very particular about following the Vedic injunctions. He will not spare anyone. He himself, in his own dealings, he mainly struck with the he mainly stuck to the Vedic injunctions. He will not deviate at any time. As far as Krishna is concerned, Krishna is not so particular sometime. Krishna has a little different way. Whereas Ramchandra was concerned, he was very straightforward and very firm about these things. There was no change or deviations from the injunctions. So Ramchandra instructed Sugriva to do that, and after that was performed, he gave another important instruction to Sugriva, and that was that Angada, Bali's son, should not be at any cost disturbed, and Sugriva should not take it upon him at any time, even though Sugriva and Bali had such an enormous fight for so long a time that Angada should not be victimized by that. And Sugriva was very strongly instructed on that. So Angada was taken into the group of Sugriva, and Sugriva was then installed as the king of the Vanaras. Vanaras means the monkeys. It looks from Ramayanam that there were so many different species on this planet apart from the human species. Human species, the Manushya is only one. There were the Vanaras, and there were also the Rakshasas who existed at that time. And there were so many of them. And you can see the time difference between Tridayugam and this Kaliyugam is so long that so many things have come and gone. So many species have existed and they have gone. And without the help of Vedic literature, it is not possible to know these different kinds of species that has existed simply by digging the ground and finding the fossils. It's not possible to find that out. That is why these literature are so valuable, even from the point of view of understanding that in the material world, so much changes happen all the time. And some of the things discussed in Ramayanam in relationship with the current existence of this planet is sometimes very difficult to correlate because of the changes that has happened in the material nature or in the nature altogether, that from the time of Ramayanam and to these present times. So, but still, no matter what changes it has happened, these things are important from the point of view that Ramayanam gives us an insight into some of the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality, Ramchandra and Krishna. So Ramachandra's life indicates to us who Ramachandra is, and these incidents are a reference to that. So after Sugriva was installed as the king, Ramachandra told him to go to Kishkindha. In Kishkindha was the installation ceremony of Sugriva. Ramachandra would not go to Kishkindha because he has agreed with Kaikeyi that he will spend the time in the forest. 14 years he has to spend there. So he stayed back in the forest. He sent Lakshmana for the installation ceremony of Sugriva as the king. And as soon as Sugriva took over the kingdom of the Vanaras, you have to remember all these Vanaras and their original identity. Just like in Krishna Katha, in Krishna's pastimes, all these associates of Ramchandra has also come from the spiritual world to assist Ramchandra in his pastimes. And Ramachandra stayed back in the forest, and Sugriva stayed in the city, in the palace. Now that he has the complete control of the Vanara kingdom, he has promised Ramachandra that now he has his responsibility to fulfill according to the agreement. Ramachandra has killed Bali, but in turn Sugriva has to find out Sita. But Sugriva has not done anything, and Ramachandra gave him a 4 months' time, a time for relaxation, because by now the rainy season has started, and normally this is the time when sannyasis and saintly people utilize it to stay in one place. Sannyasis don't have to travel all the 12 months. That is not the instruction. They should stay 4 months in a particular place. That is known as the Chaturmasyam time. So Chaturmasyam time, normally sannyasis spend at one place. And the idea is, during that time, they can develop their knowledge of the Shastra. And in addition to that, they also have an opportunity to practice their spiritual commitments, particularly in reference to all the deity worship, sadhana, chanting the holy name, studying, everything. They get time for their meditations and all other things, for time for thoughtful activities will require concentration, and daily travel disturbs their life to a large extent. But these 4 months' time of Chaturmasyam gives them an opportunity to stay in what is known as Nishtha. Nishtha means to be properly situated in one's transcendental life. So sannyasis do that, and all the sages do the same thing. So Ramachandra is now in the forest as a sage, so he also followed the same routine. He did not change it. He followed instructions seriously, wearing the matted hair, wearing this deer skin, and also completely living like a sage in the forest, eating the fruits and the roots from the trees, and lying in very austere conditions and resting like that. Ramachandra spent these 4 months in the forest. In the Ramayanam, there's a beautiful description of Ramachandra's beauty at that time in the forest, how beautiful he looked in that outfit in the forest. And in addition to that, Ramachandra was also feeling that separation from Sita Devi at that time. So it was during that time that Sita Devi was away, and Lakshmana was in close association with Ramachandra at that time in the forest. So meanwhile, the 4 months have passed in the forest, and during that time Lakshmana had some valuable association with Ramachandra. For our benefit, it was during that time Ramachandra instructed Lakshmana on what is known as Kriya Yoga. Kriya Yoga means that is basically it is the process of deity worship. The process of deity worship. This is known as Kriya Yoga. Why is it called Kriya Yoga? It is another type of Karma Yoga. And basically, Angiras Maharshi, Brihaspati, and Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, and Ramachandra in Ramayanam have instructed about the process of Kriya Yoga. Yastvanya Karma Yogam Tava Bhajana Same Tatraja Bhishta Murtim Khridyam Satvaiga Rubam Krishadi Hridi Mridi Kvapiva Bhava Yitvaha Pushpai Gandhair Nivedir Kobija Virajido Shaktido Bhakti Budair Nityam Varyam Saparyam Tavadada Ivibo Tol Prasadam Bhajayam. That in principle it is the process of deity worship. Pushpai Gandhair Nivedir, flowers, incense, and all the other paraphernalia. One worships the Supreme Lord. Shakti do bhakti budair. Here, the importance is given to bhakti. Nothing else. In fact, there are different processes of deity worship. Vaidhyam, Tandriyam, and Mishram. Vedic process is where we use mantram. Tandriya Vidhi is where we use Tantram. Tantram means the technical way of worshipping the deity. This is the technical process. In detail, Krishna speaks about this to Uddhava later in the Bhagavadam. In the Ramayanam also, in one whole chapter, Lakshmana took the opportunity to know from Ramachandra how to perform deity worship. And that is instructed in the Ramayanam in this particular chapter of Kriya Yoga. It is called Kriya Yoga because this is a very easy process of making progress in spiritual life, and which can be performed at home even by any devotee who should normally take to the process of deity worship. So like this, in Ramayanam, this 4 months in the forest, Lakshmana took advantage of this from Ramachandra, and Ramachandra instructs one whole chapter of this process of deity worship. It is very much similar to the same Kriya Yogam what Krishna has instructed Uddhava in the Bhagavatam. There is not very much difference. Minor differences you will find, but in principle all the details are more or less the same. It is the 27th chapter in the 11th canto. So the purpose of Kriya Yoga, it is another kind of Karma Yoga. That is how it is referred to. Another kind of Karma Yoga in the sense that with bhakti, with devotion, if one executes this Kriya Yoga, it will have a tremendous influence in one's advancement in spiritual life. It develops a strong spiritual life for a person who wants to execute that. That is why Lakshmana asked this question to Ramachandra. And this has benefited everybody else. And here we find Valmiki has incorporated that into Ramayana. So after this Kriya Yoga was instructed, what you find in Ramayana is, time has finished now, 4 months, and there was no news from Sugriva. Sugriva hasn't done anything about it. As soon as he got his position and all the comforts, he was engaged in sense gratification. He just wanted to enjoy life. He has virtually was forgetting that he had a commitment here to keep up. But meanwhile, his intelligent minister, the chief minister of Sugriva, Hanuman, told one day to him, "My dear Sugriva, you have committed something to Lord Ramachandra and we haven't done anything about it. 4 months have gone. And I see some danger here. If we don't do anything about it, we could be in serious trouble." So when Hanuman mentioned this to Sugriva, you have to remember, first time Hanuman introduced Ramachandra to Sugriva. And in that introduction itself, Ramachandra told Lakshmana about Hanuman, certain words in Ramayana. What he says there is, Ramachandra, by speaking to Hanuman, understood Hanuman's personality so nicely. Says to Lakshmana that look at him, how intelligent he is. Intelligent in the sense, the way Ramachandra saw that was, every word Hanuman has spoken was so precise, number one. Number two, Hanuman's clarity of thought and clarity of expression impressed Ramachandra so nicely, so well, that he mentioned to Lakshmana that the grammar of the language of Hanuman was perfect, he says. You see, in Vedic system, these are the things that matters. How you speak, and speak in this, not the accent. Accent is important, clarity is important. But more than that, the precise way you express things, that is why Vyakaranam, grammar, has been given such an important position in the Sanskrit language. For this reason. And there is so much great commentaries, Panini's, Sutrams, and so many other great commentaries, and on the Vyakaranam aspect of the language. And Hanuman's language was so good that Ramachandra himself got affected by that. And he told Lakshmana that if I had a minister like him, it would have been so nice, he said. He didn't know that he was going to be his minister later. Probably it looks like that. So whatever it is, that since then we find an appreciation of Hanuman by Ramachandra in his speech and in his actions. So Sugriva noted this, that Ramachandra had a tremendous appreciation for Hanuman. So when Hanuman said something, Sugriva could not ignore it. Otherwise, Sugriva was not so much keen on listening to anybody. He was engaged in his happy life with his wife, now back at home, after spending so much time with Bali. So this was the time when Sugriva took him seriously, and he asked Hanuman what should be done. Hanuman said that we should call all the Vanaras from everywhere to come for a meeting before we start this big project for searching for Sita Devi. So immediately the orders were sent to everyone that in 15 days everybody should report at Kishkindha for a big meeting. And this project is on launch now for searching for Sita Devi. So then that, it was at that time, one day, Ramachandra felt very unhappy one day. Unhappy in the sense due to separation from Sita Devi. He was wandering in the forest thinking about Sita Devi. Months have gone now and there was no news about her. And he was feeling that, has anything happened to Sita Devi now? Is she still alive? Or is she still going through a hard time somewhere? And what is her mind working on? All these kind of different kinds of thoughts, just like when you feel separation from someone close to you and uncertain about his future or her future. How much you feel the same way. Ramachandra, like an ordinary person, was wandering in the forest. Perhaps we may wonder, how could Ramachandra feel like that? Ramachandra has no problems, actually. This was almost always these pastimes related to that. As a human being, he was acting in this world, but in his transcendental position, Ramachandra knew who he is and where Sita Devi is. Everything is known to him. But for our understanding that in the Ramayana, it has mentioned like this, that Ramachandra has gone through this difficult time. When it was happening like that, Lakshmana said to Ramachandra that what is to be done, it is to be that we have to approach Sugriva, and why Sugriva has not done anything about it. Ramachandra mentioned to Sugriva, to Lakshmana. Lakshmana immediately took up upon himself, he decided to kill Sugriva for not acting promptly. So he asked Ramachandra, Ramachandra said, no, you shouldn't kill Sugriva, he is a good person, but I think you should go and give him a warning first, before you take any action. Lakshmana immediately went to Kishkindha to see him. When he arrived there in Kishkindha, in the town, all the monkeys saw him, this special person coming to their kingdom. So they all started assembling there to see, seeing Lakshmana, and they started acting their monkey way, dealing with him. So Lakshmana took his bow and arrow, he wanted to finish every one of them on this spot itself. But it was then that Angada came there, along with the monkeys, and saw who it is, paid his obeisances, and pacified Lakshmana to some extent. That he told Lakshmana that they are very seriously working on the search for Sita Devi, and for that purpose they have asked all the monkeys to come together for this big meeting in Kishkindha, and they are on their way, and that is why you find so many monkeys here. And he told all the other vaneras to keep calm down and to be respectful to Lakshmana and explain to them who Lakshmana is, and immediately all the other vaneras also pull back from the scene. It was then that Lakshmana started moving towards the palace. Angada went back to the palace and informed Sugriva that Lakshmana has arrived at the palace. When Angada informed Sugriva and told him that he is not in a good mood, Sugriva got frightened. He got so frightened, first thing what he did was, he is also an intelligent person, Sugriva told Hanuman, go to him and speak to him and pacify him, he said. So Hanuman was requested to come. At the same time, he called Tara, Bali's wife, and told Tara, you dress up nicely and stay there before he comes to palace, and pay your respects to him and pacify him, so that by the time Lakshmana arrives to Sugriva's palace inside to see Sugriva, his mind is he has cooled down or is calmed down. So this was the intention. Sugriva has done it very nicely. Hanuman was sent there. Hanuman went and saw Lakshmana. Hanuman, as usual, spoke in a very wonderful way that Lakshmana, and explained to Lakshmana that how the different search activities have started and how it's all going to happen. Lakshmana felt that something is happening, and that everything is not so quiet as they thought in the forest with Ramachandra. So Hanuman pacified him, and both Hanuman and Angada took Lakshmana towards Sugriva. And on the way stood there our Tara. Tara received, paid her obeisances to Lakshmana and started glorifying Lakshmana and Ramachandra so nicely for the mercy they have shown to her and to Bali, that Lakshmana felt at home very much with her, with their association. So Tara, Hanuman and Angada took Lakshmana to Sugriva. So when Lakshmana arrived there, Sugriva was sitting with his wife Ruma, and they were embracing each other. So Lakshmana looked at them, and Sugriva understood, got the message. They didn't have to say anything. Before that, Sugriva understood what is Lakshmana's mood is. They immediately got up from this throne, because he is the king, isn't it, of the Vanara race. He fell down and paid his obeisances. So Lakshmana, as soon as you pay obeisances to somebody, more or less 80-90% of his, even if he is thinking ill of you, he will still feel some kind of he will feel some easiness with you. This obeisance is not a bad thing. It works sometime. It's not that always you pay obeisances, even if in your mind it is not fully accepted it, but still paying obeisances is a good thing. As living entities, we all have mutual problems in this world sometimes. But therefore, this process of obeisances throughout, you find in Ramayana and Mahabharata and Bhagavatam, all had valuable effects on human personality, on personalities. Here we find that Lakshmana was pacified to some extent, and there was a discussion between Lakshmana and Sugriva. Sugriva said to Lakshmana what all has been done, and that he is ready to now go and see Ramachandra about it. So that was then on the chariot, Lakshmana, Sugriva, Hanuman and Angada, and all of them made a trip to see Ramachandra in the forest. They arrived to see Ramachandra there. when they arrived to see Ramachandra there, Ramachandra discussed with Sugriva. So Ramachandra was very pleased that Sugriva had come to see him after a long gap. And not only that, when Sugriva has come, first thing he paid his obeisances to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra embraced Sugriva. And Sugriva said to Ramachandra that the search activities will begin straight away. And in all four directions, the Vanaras will travel searching for Sita Devi. And in that list of Vanaras he has listed there, the Vanaras also are very, very big personalities. Not only in the human race, we think all great persons appear in the human race. No, it's not like that. In Vanara race also, there are great, great personalities. So there he introduced some names in the order of their importance. That is how that introduction is. First he starts with who? With Jambavan. Jambavan was the first personality Sugriva has introduced to Ramachandra. Why Jambavan? Because he is the oldest in the group. So you can see Jambavan was there then. When Krishna married Satyabhama and then later on Jambavati, then also Jambavan was there. And Jambavan is still there. So this Jambavan, old person, he was there. Very powerful. And even in Ramachandra's time. So Jambavan was introduced. Hanuman was introduced. Nalan, Gavan, Gavayan, Gavakshan. There is a list of them. Panasan, so many of them mentioned there. And their qualities were talked about and were introduced to Ramachandra. Ramachandra met with all these great soldiers of Sugriva and asked them what the plan of action is. So they were divided into four groups, one to north, one to east, one to west, and one to south to go. The intention of sending in all four directions were, although they had the knowledge that Ravana has taken Sita Devi and he is in Lanka, this was known to them, but still they would not want to take any chance. They were not sure in which direction he has gone or where he is at the moment. So they sent him in all four directions. They sent the Vanaras for searching in all four directions. So this was all agreed and they have gone in these four directions. That is what we find there. Now we are at the end of what is known as Aranyakandam. Aranyakandam means that the Kishkindha Kandam. Kishkindha Kandam is the Kandam or the canto refers to these activities and decisions and the search for the Sita Devi going through at this time. So those who went to north, south, north or east or west, they didn't hear anything about Sita Devi. Fortunately, it was Jambavan, Angada and Hanuman and that group who went to the south, they travelled right up to the seashore, and when they arrived at the seashore, they realized that they had come to the dead end. They had no more further to go and they had no knowledge of what this Lanka is, where the Lanka is and where Ravana is. No, they had no clue about it. But before they left, Ramachandra called Hanuman and told him, handed over him his ring and told him, Anguliyam, gave it to Hanuman and told him, take this with you and it's most probable that you will find Sita, and if you find her, give this to her and in exchange bring something from her back to me. So it was on this understanding that it was taken and they went to and they have now reached the tip of the Bharatavarsham on the near Rameshwaram or the southern tip. When they arrive there, now in the Ramayana it says that the distance between Lanka and the seashore or the Rameshwaram is about 800 miles, 100 yojanas it says, it's about 800 miles. But that is not true from today's calculations. It is a lot lesser than that. So from this also, and also from the various other descriptions in Ramayanam, you'll find that a lot of things has changed in the planet itself. And these changes are constantly happening. But because our existence in this world is such a short time, in relationship with the time this planet goes through, it is sometimes very difficult to know exactly, and then we start calling everything as mythology. This is our problem. That we think we have come here, some important people in this world, for 70 years. And whatever we say and whatever we speculate, it should be absolute. It cannot go wrong. But when you read Ramayanam and Mahabharatam and so many other, Ramayanam has something like history goes back to over millions of years. And million of years back, what the condition of this planet was, very difficult to envisage from our point of view today. I have come yesterday and today I have full knowledge. This is the way I talk about it. Or I've read, I made my thesis, I got my PhD, I got this, I got that, so I know everything. This is our foolishness. But from Ramayanam, you can see that the distance is clearly mentioned in all the Ramayanams as 800 yojanas. It says one yojana is 8 miles. So it's about 800 miles distance between Lanka and the tip of the southern tip of Bharatavarsham. So much changes happens in the material world. Our short existence, what do we know? What goes on here? We come here like visitors for a few years and we go. That's our life here. But still, we think we are in control of the situation. And we want to talk about the life of the, speculate about the life of the sun planet. That is how intelligent, and Mars planet and other planets and this planet, that planet, everything. We know everything. What is that we don't know? So, whatever it is, this is what happened. That at the end, when they arrived at the end of they didn't know what to proceed from there now, and this is then, and they started discussing each other. It was Angada who was in the group, worried about it very much, because they were given a time of 1 month to come back, and in 1 month, if you don't find Sita Devi, your heads will go. That's what the Sugriva's ajna or Sugriva's instruction. And they know Sugriva means what he says. They were all aware of that. It's a very famous expression, Sugriva's instruction or Sugriva's order. So Sugriva has given this order, and Angada started getting worried. Angada started saying to Jambavan and Hanuman, what's going to happen to us if we go back? So they all decided, we won't go back, we'll stay here. Because what's the point? If we go back, we lose our life anyway. We have not found Sita Devi. And it's no point in going back to see Ramachandra or Sugriva in this condition. And they were discussing each other, and they were in close to a mountain called Mahendragiri. Mahendragiri mentions in Ramayana, very important mountain near the seashore. Mahendragiri, they were near a cave, they were lying down there and discussing each other. There was a big cave nearby, they were lying there and they were discussing each other. Ultimately, they decided, we will not go back. We will lie here, and we'll give up our body here. Exactly. And the agreement was, just like Parikshit Maharaj used to do, he wanted to lie down and die, which is known as Prayobhavesham, giving up one's own body without eating or drinking, lying down. They decided to give up their body in the same way. They didn't find any purpose in going back without finding Sita Devi. So they were lying down and they were talking to each other. But on their way to the south, they experienced something very interesting. What is known in the Ramayana as a strange experience they had. When the monkeys were going through, because they were searching for Ravana in the forest also everywhere, and it looks that there was a very heavy forest at that time which they were going through, and the monkeys were searching everywhere the existence of Ravana or Sita Devi to find some clue. After searching through the forest for a long time, they became very completely exhausted, and they wanted to drink some water. Unfortunately, there was no water anywhere. So in this condition they were searching, and while searching they realized ultimately they couldn't find water anywhere, and they were in a desperate situation. Suddenly from a cave they started seeing some birds flying out. And these birds, from the wings of these birds, water was dripping out. So although it was outside completely dry and there was not a drop of water anywhere, the birds were coming out and the water was dripping from their wings. And when the monkey saw that, the vanara saw that, they thought there must be some water inside the cave. So they all got into the cave. When they looked inside the cave, it was total darkness. So they asked, obviously the leader, Hanuman, decided to take the leadership there. Hanuman in the front, all the other vanaras, one behind the other, they walked into this cave. And when they walked into the cave, they kept going. There was no end of this darkness. It kept going on and on and on. And they were also chanting Ramchandra's name now, because there was no other protection for them. Walking through this darkness, they couldn't find. After a long time, they arrived at a place which they have never seen before, more or less like a heavenly planet situation. Beautiful garden, beautiful lakes, and beautiful apartments, everything. And they could not understand where they have reached. So it was then that a young girl who was performing her meditation there, she woke up from her meditation, came up to them and asked them who they are. So the Vanaras, they were thirsty, they were hungry as well. So they haven't eaten anything for a long time. In the forest, things are pretty tough. And they haven't had anything to drink either. So they were totally exhausted. So they all were very respectful to her, seeing the fruit standing around everywhere, and also plenty of water in the lake. They just wanted to fill that belly in. So because they arrived at a strange place, they thought if they do something wrong, maybe they could be punished as well. There could be someone who is keeping a watch on the situation. So they introduced themselves that we are monkeys helping Sugriva, who is the king of the Vanaras, who have an agreement with Ramachandra, who is the prince of Ayodhya, who came with Lakshmana and Sita Devi to the forest. Sita Devi has been stolen by Ravana, and Ramachandra has, with the agreement with Sugriva, has sent us in all directions searching for Ravana and Sita Devi, and that is how we have arrived here. We had no water to drink, no food to eat. So this young lady, she felt compassion for her, for these monkeys, and told them, go and drink what you want, go and eat what you like, and there's plenty of things to eat here, plenty of water to drink, and then come back and then we'll discuss. So Vanaras had a good time. After a long journey, they felt a lot better after drinking and eating. They came up to her. So she told them that my name is Swayam Prabha. I am a servant maid of the daughter of Vishwakarma's daughter. Vishwakarma is the architect in the heavenly planets. His daughter Hema, she used to live here. She used to perform her meditations here. She was given this place specifically by Lord Shiva, who used to perform her sadhana here, and my job was to assist her. She performed her penances here for thousands of years, and she has gone back to the spiritual world when she got released from her material life. And when she had gone back, she instructed me to stay back here, and she has told me that one day you lot will arrive here searching for Sita Devi. And when they come, they will tell you where Lord Ramachandra is, and I am going to see Ramachandra now and pay my respects to Ramachandra. So it was then that Swayam Prabha, that was her name, Swayam Prabha said to the monkeys that if you want to come out of this cave now, the first thing you have to do is to close your eyes. So they all closed their eyes, and the next moment when she told them to open, they were all outside this cave. They didn't know where they were. They were all yogis. So Swayam Prabha was a yogini, mentions in the Ramayana, that yogic power creates such wonderful things, which is unbelievable. Either we have to call it mythology and reject it, or if you accept the system of yoga system and the power of yoga, you can accept it also. So Swayam Prabha brought them out and told them that she is on her way, and in a few minutes she was in front of Ramchandra. She told them that they should go to south further, and they will meet somebody there who will tell them about finding Sita Devi. With that instruction, Swayam Prabha went to Ramachandra, who glorified Ramachandra in the Ramayanam. Swayam Prabha's prayers to Ramachandra is also very glorious, in the sense, seeing Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality, Swayam Prabha glorifies him, and she goes back to the spiritual world. So these monkeys, Vanaras, they were there, and they had this meeting with Swayam Prabha, but they have not seen anything so far, and they were discussing each other. It was then that what has happened was that we have this important discussion happening there with who is known as Sambhadi. Sambhadi, a eagle person who is like an eagle form, he came out from the cave nearby, and he was seeing these Vanaras lying one next to the other. He was very pleased to seeing them. He says, his wings have gone, both the wings have gone of Sambhadi, and he had nothing to eat for a long time. So when he saw them, he said, there is a food for me. Nature has provided. So somebody looks at them and told them that this is the program now. My program is this, that I'll be eating you one after the other as and when I feel hungry. So the Vanaras were talking each other that if we go back to see Sugriva, he's going to kill. If we sit here also, we are going to be killed. So what is the option now? What is the option? What's the option now? There isn't much option, is there? So it was then that they were discussing each other. They thought themselves about how fortunate that Jadayu was. You see, Jadayu, also like him, another eagle. But Jadayu was fortunate enough to talk to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra, what Ramachandra services Ramachandra has done to Jadayu. All these things they started talking. In their conversation came up. When this came up, immediately somebody heard the word Jadayu mentioned there. And somebody suddenly came to his senses and started asking them, where is Jadayu? Jadayu is my brother. I have not seen him for a very, very long time, he said. So the Vanaras, especially Hanuman and Angada, told Sambhaji what has happened to Jadayu and who is Ramachandra, who had come from Ayodhya, and what happened to Jadayu. And the whole story they repeated to Sambhaji. When Sambhaji heard that, Sambhaji said to them that you have given me such an information which I have not heard for a very, very long time. And Sambhaji, and as soon as he said this, Sambhaji's wings came back on his body. The wings came back on his body as soon as they spoke about Ramchandra and this mission. So you can see that Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has his plans in this world, and in all these pastimes, sometimes difficult for us to understand, but by the mercy of Valmiki and Vyadavyas Maharshi, we get such interesting, important pastimes to tell us who these great soul personalities are. And Vyadavyas Valmiki says that when somebody heard this news about Jadayu, the Vanaras wanted to know what their relationship is. Somebody told them, Jadayu was my younger brother. When we were young and we were together, we were so much of energy in our body and we were so strong that one day we decided to fly towards the sun. That is how powerful they were, these personalities. Jadayu and Sambhaji were competing each other to fly towards the sun. And they were flying towards the sun, and after a long distance, it seems, they have given the distance also, thousands and thousands of miles, it says there, that the heat from the sun was affecting them. That such a way that somebody started realizing that Jadayu is going to drop dead now. So he covered Jadayu with his wings, and the result that Jadayu escaped. But unfortunately, Sambhadi's both wings got burned, and Sambhaji fell down in the Vindhya mountains and near this cave. That is how it has happened. From this you can see that how much the landscape has changed. How much the places, what's mentioned in the Ramayanam, many places, very hard to identify where they are, exactly where these things happened. Pamba River, Shabari's Ashram, all these things. These places have names today exist, but there has to have a lot of changes happened from the time, from Ramayanam's time and today. So that is how somebody ended up in this cave with his wings in this condition. And his a sage whom he met before, known as Chandravas, told him that one day he will happen to meet these people, these monkeys who have come searching for Sita Devi, and help them, and you will be released from your unfortunate situation. And that is precisely what happened now. That Sambhaji's wings have come back, and Sambhaji told Hanuman and Angada that I am an eagle. Eagle means Gradhra. Gradhra means who has got very high power of vision. And sitting there, he could see so far away Sita Devi sitting underneath the Shimshava tree in Lanka. And he told that Ravana's kingdom is there, and Sita Devi is sitting there underneath the tree along with the other Rakshasis. I can see that because I am a Gradhra. He says, I am an eagle. My eyesight is so powerful. When he said that, and saying this, he flew off to the heavenly planets. That is how Ramayanam says that, how somebody left this world. So this discussion between the monkeys, Vanaras and Sambhadi is one chapter in the Ramayanam. After that, the plans have begun now, how to cross the sea. So the discussion goes on between all the senior members of this southern command or the army which has come to the south of Sugriva. So they were discussing there, and Angada was saying, oh, every member of that group claimed that they can jump such and such a distance, but none of them were capable of jumping such a long distance. So Angada mentioned his problem. Jambavan said how old he is now. He could have done it once, but not now, he said. And then Angada said, what do we do now? He said, so Jambavan said, I know who can do it, he said. And then he selected Hanuman for this. And you can see there, Jambavan glorifies Hanuman in such a way that he was firing him up for this project. And all that verses glorifying Hanuman there is Jambavan's admiration for Hanuman about his capacity. And his capacity was absolutely true, because only one reason Hanuman and Jambavan said, that faith in Lord Ramachandra's shelter, what Hanuman had, that was his strength. And that strength, the one person in this whole creation who knew the potency of these two letters Rama, and that was Hanuman. So Hanuman agreed that he will take up the project. And some of his past activities, when he was a little child, Hanuman thought the sun planet is a fruit in the sky. He wanted to catch the sun planet. And that is how type of personality Hanuman was from those days. So Hanuman has been glorified there by Jambavan. And it was decided that Hanuman will go for this project. That is where Kishkindha Kandam finishes. Now we come in Ramayanam to the most fascinating side of Ramayanam. You will notice something very interesting here. Valmiki has named every canto in Ramayanam according to the activities of the particular canto. For example, if you take the first canto, which is called Balakandam. Balakandam means the childhood or the childhood pastimes. Childhood pastimes. Childhood pastimes of Ramachandra. That is Balakandam. After that, what is in the Ramayanam is Ayodhya Kandam. That means after their education, everything, coming back to Ayodhya and all the things, what has happened in Ayodhya. According to the situation and according to the activities related to that particular place. Coming back to Ayodhya, activities in Ayodhya called Ayodhya Kandam. After the Ayodhya Kandam, they come to the Kishkindha Kandam. Coming to Kishkindha, meeting with Sugriva and all the activities in Kishkindha. So Kishkindha Kandam. But then later on you have got Yuddha Kandam, the Kandam related to the war between Rama and Ravana. And at the end there is Uttara Kandam also, the last conclusion of the final pastimes. But this Sundara Kandam comes after Kishkindha Kandam. Now, strictly speaking, on the same logic what Valmiki has used to discuss the topic, this canto should not have been mentioned as Sundara Kandam. It should have been given some other name. Because as per the logic, it could have been called various names. Hanuman Kandam, because it shows the importance of Hanuman. Or a canto related to the crossing the sea, Samudra Lankana Kandam, or something like that. They could have called that. But Valmiki didn't call that name. He called it Sundara Kandam. Why Sundara Kandam? That's an important question, because Sundara means, as you know, it's the most beautiful Kandam. And it is the most beautiful Kandam of Ramayanam. Why it is Sundara Kandam? That is the question, isn't it? Sundara Kandam gives the cream of Ramayanam. Now, before we discuss that, we should talk a little about Vedic literature and the position of Ramayanam in Vedic literature. Generally, Vedas, Upanishads, and the Puranas, and then we have got the Itihasams, like Mahabharatam and Ramayanam. All by the mercy of Vedavyas, who have compiled and left it for human society to follow. The situation is that Vedic injunctions in the Vedas and the Upanishads, normal people would find it very hard to accept. That requires a different mind altogether to accept it, what is mentioned in the Vedas as absolute knowledge, and to abide by it and to live by that. That is very difficult for ordinary people. Therefore, from time immemorial, the situation was that the people who had the complete faith in the Vedic authority, or who had the absolute faith in the authority of the Vedas and Vedic literature, they followed the Vedas and the Upanishads strictly. They had no difficulty in following them. Why? Because in their mind, they had no doubts about anything. They had no question at all of asking what is to do, what one should do in life, or what is the goal of life. That question never came in their life any time. That was the kind of faith they had in the Vedic literature. That was the potency of Vedic literature. Therefore, while compiling this literature, Vedavyasa Maharshi knew that in the Varnashrama Dharma system, everyone will not have the same capacity to grasp things. You can see also that injunctions in the Upanishads, for example, if given as it is done in the Upanishads, nobody will read it. Modern world, I'm saying about this modern population in the modern world, will not read it. Why? Because we have fallen in our position from the Vedic point of view. In other words, our consciousness has come to so much different from the kind of consciousness what those personalities who followed the Vedic literature strictly. That is where things have changed. So knowing well that these things are going to happen in the future, knowing very well that the people in this particular age in Kali Yuga will have a frame of mind where they will doubt even the authority of the Vedas. He knew that very well. Vedavyas knew that. All the other great sages also knew about this. And because of this, they knew the only way they can do anything about it is to create another set of literature which these ignorant ones can read and accept. It's not simple as we think about it. We may be thinking, oh, I'm so intelligent, you know. I know everything. All the computers I know, all the engineering I know, all the medicine I know. We know about everything. But only when it comes to the question of faith in these things, we have a problem. When it comes to accepting the authority of the Vedas, we have a difficulty. So our so-called intelligence doesn't help in accepting the authority of the Vedic literature. That requires a different kind of intelligence. Why? Because material knowledge generally helps you to understand the material world. We have no information about the spiritual reality behind it. That is why when Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled, what does Vedavyasa Maharshi says? Janmadhyasya yatonvayadidaradas charteshvabhijnaswaral tene brahma hridaya adigavaye muhyandiyal surayam tejo varimradam yadha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhagam satyam param dhimahi. Why that satyam param dhimahi? Because this satyam, what Vedavyas is talking about, is not the satyam what you can research in your laboratory. It's a different kind of satyam. And this satyam you can find if you follow the process what Vedavyas Maharshi has given us. That is where he says that anvayad, anvayam and vedregam, two things. He mentions there. What is this anvayam and vedregam? Anvayam and vedregam means that an example for to make that easier to understand, that you cannot have smoke without fire, isn't it? Smoke always follows the fire. There must be some fire somewhere, that's when the smoke comes out. But fire can exist without smoke also. So certain things are like that. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there, the creation is there. Creation cannot exist without Supreme Personality of Godhead behind it. In other words, without Krishna, creation doesn't happen. But without creation, Krishna can survive, stay still, on. That is where the difference is. So, this Satyam Param Dhimahi is talking about that person behind this smoke outside. The smoke is what we see and we are studying every day. We are not studying the fire behind it. And that is why Vedavyasa says there, Idararascharteshu abhijna swaral, that abhijna, the consciousness of that truth is such that he knows everything, where it is coming from, where who is going to maintain it, where it's eventually going back. This is why spiritual knowledge and spiritual reality will always remain difficult for a materialistic person who is attached to material nature, will find it very hard to accept. So you will see here that when this, in this particular case, in Vedic literature particularly, when the Vedic literature could not be accepted by the human society anymore, it came to a stage where Vyasa Maharshi, very much in advance, in the beginning of Kali Yuga itself, compiled these Puranas and said, let this stay also there, let them read them, let them read the Puranas. And particularly, and Valmiki also, Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. The message is the same, what is in the Vedas and Upanishads is the same message in Puranas also. But where is the difference then? Both these great sages did one wonderful thing. They thought, this coming generation will be very much interested in reading newspaper. So, because they are addicted to newspaper, let me give it to them in the news form. In other words, in the form of the history. History is news, isn't it? It's news. But the difference between this modern newspaper and the Puranas is, or the modern history, Puranas are also history. It's not different from the modern history. Only difference is, the Puranas, the old history, is telling us that there are certain things to be learned from history. And the things to learn, they explain to us through this history books of Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. That is why they become significant. So, using the historical events in the creation, Valmiki and Vedavyas decided to tell us the story in such a way that human nature, being interested in hearing stories, will understand from Ramayanam, Mahabharatam and everything, certain important messages to the human society. And that's what they have done in Ramayanam also. And in the Sundarakandam is nothing but an expansion of these ideas of the Upanishads in a much detailed way, but through the incidents in the history, so people are able to relate with that. Let us see what they are. What are these talking about in Sundarakandam? Why, as I mentioned before, the name Sundarakandam was given to it for this one reason. Because Sundarakandam is Sundaram. That is why it is Sundarakandam. So Sundarakandam, this canto, Vedavyasa packed a lot of spiritual thought, Valmiki has kept a lot of spiritual thoughts behind it. First of all, then, if you notice one thing, the beginning itself is so interesting. If you notice one thing, that in the Ramayanam, four search teams were sent, isn't it? One north, one south, one east and one west. Now, why is it that when you knew that they were Ramana was taken Sidadevi to the south, why so many were sent in other directions? And in Ramayanam, you don't hear anything about them afterwards. There is no information about the search parties was gone to the north, east or west. Why it's not mentioned there? Reason is that there is a indication in this. This is the learned authorities' comments on the Ramayanam's messages. They are saying that that in the Ramayanam they decided to mention a few things. That in this material world also we come here, we accept a material body, we come here. And after coming here, what does we do? What do we do? We have so many different plans in this world. We know very well that one day we'll be thrown away from this place, whether we like it or not. We have to leave this. But in spite of that, our plans haven't changed. We still have big, big plans in this world to fulfill, to perform, isn't it? That's most of the human society is like that. we try to make big ideas and big plans in this world, how to improve the conditions of this world, how to bring peace to this world, how to develop the economy, how to make all countries prosperous and we all live together happily. This plan has been going on for millions of years in this planet. But we won't give up. We will not give up. We will go on doing this till we get thrown out from here. Because that's all, up to that time only you can do it. After that you can't do it, isn't it? So till the last breath, we will keep doing our economy, adjusting the economy and getting the things right here. And so many big plans. Ramayanam says, these plans and these ideas are those who have gone to the north, east and west. That means they have left the spiritual path and they have taken to their material path in this world to carry on with their ideas. Sensible person who has come to understand that he is a spirit soul and he has some spiritual obligations to achieve in this life, that human life is meant for spiritual perfection, he has to take the process just like these Vanaras have done who traveled towards Lanka. That there you have to have that firm mind or complete commitment to spiritual path. Otherwise, if our mind gets dragged into all directions, it will be like those monkeys who have gone towards east, west and the north, it says. The reason being, it's only a comparison to tell us that in this material world, Maya is so powerful that it can give you all different ideas to distract you from spiritual life and take to the material way of life and to keep yourself busy in this world. But one day, when the last minute, when you have to leave this material body, none of these plans will help. Nobody can help us. If you have spent time in spiritual life, in glorifying Krishna and Ramachandra, or chanted their holy names, that is the only shelter, protection for all of us, not for one person, every one of us. So that is where this instance is showing that only this one particular group who are focused, they succeeded in their mission. They succeeded in their mission in finding where Sita Devi is. Sita Devi is otherwise known as Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means spiritual knowledge. And everybody cannot find Sita Devi. Although a group has gone, only one person among them could find Sita Devi. That was Hanuman. What does it mean? It means, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschilyatadi siddhayem yatadam abhisiddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvadam. That out of thousands and thousands of men who will try for spiritual life in this world, hardly one attains the perfection. And they attain the siddhis. They succeed in that. And among them, hardly one knows me in truth. Etadam abhisiddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvadam. So even if you don't know Krishna in truth, at least to make an endeavor in spiritual life, how important it is. That is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. And that is what it shows also here, that so many went right up to the tip of the land, but still they could not find Sita Devi. Only one person who was so determined, and that was Hanuman. Hanuman was able to find Sita Devi. It may look, it is a comparison of the spiritual path we have to tread in this world. In our progress in the perfection of spiritual life, how many obstacles comes on our path. And all that obstacles is what Hanuman is facing on his travel towards Lanka. So all these ideas are there in Ramayanam to tell us that those who are trying to progress on spiritual path, there will be so many obstacles from all sides. But unless one has fixed up and had got that firmness and determination in spiritual life, he will not go further. He will get pulled down at every step. And that is where determination becomes very necessary to progress on spiritual side. And it is then, there is many other things mentioned there. When Hanuman arrived in Lanka, and when he met with Sita Devi, there was an exchange. That discussion comes later in Sundarakandam. There was a discussion between Hanuman and Sita Devi there. And it was after the discussion, the meeting between Hanuman and Sita Devi, that some of the most beautiful chapters in Sundarakandam. Hanuman decided to cross over the sea and arrive there. And before on his way, the demigod sent some objection to why demigod sent that, to test Hanuman's ability. And they sent a demon named Surasa there. And the Surasa, Hanuman had to get through her. She expanded herself so big and wanted to eat Hanuman inside. So there the yogic power of Surasa is shown. She had a specific yogic power whereby she could expand into very, very huge form. And when she was in that huge form, when she took, Hanuman took the form of a small worm, went through her mouth and came through her ear and came out. And when he did that, Surasa realized that Hanuman is not an ordinary person and let him go. And that is how all these are yogic powers mentioned in Bhagavatam and Ramayanam, and they are still considered to be the topmost knowledge of the perfection in the yoga system. Of course, in today's world, these perfections are even, it is difficult for us even to believe what to talk about practicing them. We have come to such a state of life today that we are thinking that if we can get to some shuttle to Mars, we have achieved the highest success in life. This is our level of understanding, even the level of intelligence you can see. And here you see in the Bhagavatam, you will find when Krishna discussing about the different yogic processes, you will find there the different Ashta Aishwarya Siddhis, Yogaishwarya Siddhis they are called. And Krishna says, discusses each one of them with Uddhava, and he says to Uddhava that all these siddhis are possible to achieve if one has got that ability and also the guidance from the right people and the determination to do it. But today it will stay in the Bhagavatam like that, and when we read it, we can think and decide whether it is still there or not, such a thing exists or not. This is our unfortunate condition. But why was Krishna all along in the Bhagavatam and as well as in the Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna, what does Arjuna call Krishna? Yogeshwareshwara. In other words, things which we cannot imagine in our mind, things we cannot accept, in our mind cannot accept, that is possible in Krishna's creation. Krishna can do that. That is why he is called Yogeshwareshwara. What yogis do? Their Ishwara, and Krishna is even their Ishwara. So Yogeshwareshwara, that is how even Bhagavad Gita ends with that. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara Tatra Shreer Vijayo Bhodir Dhruvoni Dharma Dharmama. My opinion, Sanjaya says, wherever Yogeshwara Krishna is there, there is no question of anything failing. Sanjaya says to Dhritarashtra, isn't it? And the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So, like this in the Bhagavatam also you will find that the yogic power, all the Supreme Lord has shown some instances. In the Bhagavatam, there are three major instances where Bhishma Dev quoted, where Krishna has shown who he is. Three major instances. In addition to that, there are many instances where Krishna has shown his yogic power. No one else could show them. So you can imagine that at one time, education meant all these things. That Shaishave Abhyasta Vidhyanam, that is how it is mentioned about education. Education is not just going to school and college and getting a paper and certificate and coming back and then trying to find if you can get a job somewhere. This education is this was not the education what Vedic education meant. Vedic education meant developing these special capacities in us, which is already there, and to develop them properly and to make the best use of the human life, rather than surrendering to get a job to fill the belly and be satisfied with that. So it looks from this that the goal of the education in the Vedic times and the education of today is so different. Today's education is is just a question of survival now. It has come to that stage. But whatever it is, looking at this, you can see that Hanuman came through Surasa's ears and then managed to get to Lanka. When he got to Lanka, that is where this whole thing happens. that first he arrived there, he had a look at Lanka. When he saw Lanka, the description of Lanka, you can't find that Lanka anymore. That Lanka doesn't exist in this world. I don't know whether any other place in this world you can compare with Lanka. Buildings built of gold and silver, and also with jewels and valuable things that which one cannot even imagine. That was Ravana's Lanka, with the finest, most expensive things. And even Hanuman was amazed to seeing Lanka. It looks like that by the expression of them. And then Hanuman was looking for Sita Devi, where she will be. This was also, it was given to him the understanding that in the Ashoka Vanika, one of the gardens of Ravana's gardens, underneath the Shimshava tree, you will see Sita Devi sitting there. So that is where he goes there looking for her. He found out the garden, and when he got there, he didn't want to go and see Sita Devi straight away. He sat in the top of the tree, and he was seeing from there Sita Devi Sita Devi's distress, what she was experiencing. And in that distress mood, Sita Devi was thinking about Ramachandra, and her thoughts were still in Ramachandra. It was at that time that it was the middle of the night when Hanuman arrived there. It was then that Ravana comes there. Ravana wants to see Sita Devi. And in Ramayana, Valmiki has not forgotten to describe Ravana's dress to make him attractive for Sita Devi, so that Sita Devi may accept him. And that is why he has given a very special description of Ravana there, how beautiful he looked when he was coming to see Sita Devi. And Ravana, in the middle of the night, with all his associates and with drums and everything, you know, in a very with all his beautiful associates, he arrives there to see Sita Devi. When he comes to Sita Devi, he is putting forward his argument to Sita Devi. It's pointless wasting time thinking that Rama is going to come and help you. Rama is not going to come. Who is this Rama? I've searched for him everywhere. You don't find him anywhere, this Rama, he says. But what is interesting there is, every word Ravana has spoken to Sita Devi, if you change the meaning, if you change the letters in a different way, or change the word's position, it all becomes glorification of Ramachandra. Exactly like when Shishupala abused Krishna, there are the commentaries on that. If you change that, you will find, change the words, the positioning of the words, the whole thing, you can make it meaning that Shishupala was glorifying Krishna. Why? Because Vagdevata, when we are speaking, Saraswati Devi, who controls our power of speech, everything what we do, somebody is controlling from behind. We shouldn't think that everything I can do and get away with it. But Vagdevata, Saraswati, she is controlled by Krishna. That ability for Saraswati to control our power of speech has come from Krishna. So that is why in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the what is known as Shuka Saraswatam, Shukadeva Goswami, before we compile Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Solam Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. He's praying to Krishna, actually he should have prayed to Saraswati Devi to give this ability to speak. But no, he was praying to Krishna. Why? Sukadeva Goswami knew that Saraswati Devi got this capacity to give this power to people to speak. That ability for Saraswati Devi came from Krishna. So why should I not pray to Krishna? This was Sukadeva Goswami's word. He said, there's 12 beautiful verses. Yad kirtanam yal smaranam yad ikshanam yad vandanam yad charanam yad arhanam logasya sadhyo vidinodi kalmasho tasmai subhadra shravase namo namam kirada hunandra pulinda pulkasam abhirakanga yamanakasadaya yenge jababa yadubashraya ashraya shudhyandi tasmai prahavishnave namam. Like that it goes on. And at the end he says, Soilam Krishishta Bhagavan Vajam Sime. He says to that Bhagavan, Supreme Lord Krishna, may he come and decorate my words, he says. Did he decorate his words? You can see from the Bhagavatam how he decorated Sukadeva Goswami's tongue. Because from then on, it was a continuous flow of words coming from Sukadeva to such an extent that Parikshit Maharaj was amazed that he has forgotten to eat and drink. He didn't even feel hunger and thirst for the remaining 7 days. That is how the power of speech of Sukadeva Goswami was while transferring Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So anyway, what you should remember here is that these yogic powers exist, and all these great personalities, at one time the education was also such that many people were able to give up their body at the appropriate time when they wanted, after finishing their responsibilities here or the human life. So, and Hanuman arrived near Sita Devi. Hanuman sat on the Shimshabha tree. Ravana arrived to see Sita Devi. Ravana had promised to Sita Devi that you are wasting your time, you are doing this, you are doing that. Sita Devi, what did she do? She will not relent one. She has all this time been chanting Ramchandra's name and thinking about him. She pulled out one grass and showed it to him. And that was enough. Ravana got the message that if you do anything, this is what your situation will be. And she broke that straw and showed it to him like this. And she didn't speak one word. Just by this one action, Ravana got so furious. Ravana understood what she meant, that she is not in no mood to relent. Ravana was telling her how nice it will be. She will offer her the first queen's position. Mandodari, Ravana's wife, was also with him. But Ravana is now telling in front of her that, look, you will be now the second wife. Sita Devi will be my first wife. Even that, Ravana is offering the job straight away. This Sita Devi's answer was like this. And Mandodari is watching all these things, and so many other Rakshasis were there with her, with him. Eventually, Ravana has lost all his control, pulled out his Chandrahasam, and he wanted to kill Sita Devi at that moment. So it was then that Mandodari told Ravana, "Ravana, what are you doing? Why you do all these things? She is an ordinary human being. You have got so many women from heavenly planets, you have brought them here and keeping them here. And also, so many Rakshasa women, they are here. Why are you after this poor girl, Sita Devi, like this?" Somehow or the other, Mandodari pulled him back from the scene. And the whole scene is such a disaster for Ravana. And eventually Ravana somehow decided not to do anything at that moment, but gave 2 months' time for all the other Rakshasis who were engaged in her service to change Sita Devi's mind to become Ravana's wife. So in other words, Sita Devi knew that she has only got 2 months' life now. And Ravana was forced back into the palace by Mandodari. Mandodari gave a lot of good advice to him, but nothing happened, worked at that time. So it was then that what you find, that Sita Devi has by now completely exhausted with these thoughts of Ravana. At that point, she decided that what is the point in living like this? There is no sign of Ramachandra coming, and 2 months' time Ravana has given me. And rather than accepting Ravana's words, I'll kill myself. And thinking that, how can I kill even if I want to kill now? Sita Devi thought like this. But in the Ramayana, there is a description of Sita Devi's hair, how long it is. It goes so long that Sita Devi decided to use it as a rope to tie herself and strangle herself on the branch of the tree, Shimshabha tree. So when Sita Devi decided to do that, it was then that from the top, Hanuman saw this, what Sita Devi was planning to do. He came down. He came down, and before coming down from the top, he started telling the story of Ramachandra. Whole story he started narrating from there. When he spoke these stories, Sita Devi heard it, and Sita Devi started thinking, who is talking about Ramachandra and me now at this time of the night? And she started looking into the tree and saw Hanuman there. Whoever is speaking about Ramachandra, let him come down here. Hanuman comes down, pays his obeisances to Sita Devi. And there was an exchange of messages, and Hanuman, such an intelligent minister of Sugriva, has done his job the most beautiful way there. Because Sita Devi first thought, is it another Rakshasa who has come in another form to cheat me? So because naturally she hasn't heard for so long a time, has gone now, and there was no sign of Ramchandra coming, and she was in such a distress that Sita Devi wanted some proof of identity, isn't it? Today we also ask identity, isn't it? Proof. So similarly, he wanted some identity, proof of identity. Obviously, he didn't have a plastic card like the way we do. He was so fortunate that he had a proper identity. The identity was Rama has given this anguliyam which he had kept in his mouth all along, and he has chanted Ramchandra's name all along. The anguliyam has become really powerful. Handed over that to Sita Devi. Here is the anguliyam, the ring from Ramchandra's fingers. Take it, he said. He said to her. Sita Devi, when she saw that, she could believe, she could accept Hanuman straight away as the messenger. And in return, she handed over the Chudaratnam, jewel from her hair. She took it out and gave it to Hanuman so that Hanuman could take it back and give it to Ramchandra as a proof of meeting Sita Devi. Now, in Sundarakandam, this incident has been mentioned in lot of details for some reasons. Generally, in this world, there are two things. That is what controls us. What are these? Knowledge and action, isn't it? Knowledge and action means jnanam and karmam. For example, what is knowledge? Knowledge is that we get to know so many things in this world when we grow up. And then what do? We keep doing things based on the knowledge what we have. So this is called, one thing is called jnanam, other one is called karmam. Jnanam and karmam. This is what our whole life is. Nothing more than this. We are understanding, hearing, understanding, knowing things. In other words, knowledge is coming through our sense of knowledge. We have five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Jnanindriyam and Karmendriyam. They are called Jnanindriyam and Karmendriyam. Through the five senses of knowledge, we acquire knowledge. Through five senses of action, we perform our activities in this world. So, knowledge and action, these are the two things what we have as our tools in this world. If you use these two things properly, that will help to advance spiritually. And that is why. And hands represents that the action. Why? That is why the anguliyam comes from the hand. It's action. And Chudaratnam comes from the head, which is the knowledge. Knowledge is from here. Action is from the hands. This is the difference between the sense of knowledge and sense of action. Why it's mentioned like that is because jnanam and karmam are two important factors in life. If you have the right knowledge, right jnanam, right understanding of things, then your karmam will not grow very much. Because karmam is the cause of all problems. You can see in people's life also, when people develop spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding of life, their karmam will come down. Or in other words, karmic activities will minimize. It has to happen. Because these two things are not compatible. On the one hand, if you have one who is very busy in the material world with karmam, doing all, running here, running there, I have to do this, I have to do that, so many projects in hand, and endless, restless, untiring efforts, whole life, like a madman running from beginning to end, without any thinking, what I am doing all this for, this is karmam. This karmam, as it increases, there will be no sign of any possibility of jnanam coming in. It will not allow jnanam to develop. Why? That is the nature of karma. Karma has got that difficult aspect that the more one gets busy and aggressive in this world with his karmic activities, the less possibility of understanding the spiritual side of life. This is precisely the reason why the sages went to the forest to develop the spiritual understanding of life, because they want to give up their karma. Karma does not help you very much in these things. Karma will only degrade you. Why? Karma means another more vasanas inside, more bodies after that, and further more bodies after that. Like this, an endless, continuous cycle of birth and death, birth and death. That is what karma means. Karma doesn't mean anything else. That is precisely the reason in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying how important it is to understand karmam, agarmam, vigarmam, and what each one of these things will do to us. How important it is to understand our karmam, how important it is to purify. But when one comes to understand the spiritual reality through the process of knowledge or jnanamargam, one will automatically minimize this to the very minimum what one can afford to, or in other words, totally zero if one can afford to. Because that doesn't help you in your spiritual activities, because knowledge cannot develop there when there is so much involvement in the material world with karmam. So jnanam and karmam has got these two defect each other. They mutually do not agree very much. That one who is too involved in karma margam, will find it very hard to develop their spiritual understanding. Jnanamargam develops when there is peace, when there is peacefulness in life. And that is why these things are happening. So out of the three yoga system, Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti, the relationship between Karmam and Jnanam is like this. Now look at the other relation between Jnanam and Bhakti. If we look at Jnanam and Bhakti, it is the other way. As much as Bhakti is progressing, advancement in knowledge helps. Because the doubts that comes in the Bhakti Margam, that goes away with knowledge. In other words, one gets properly settled in the Bhakti process. So Jnanam and Bhakti are compatible. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is called for this reason. It's a book of science of Bhakti and Jnanam. It doesn't say it's a book of Karma. It says it's a book of Bhakti and Jnanam. So, Srimal Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Where Paramahamsamegamamalam Jnanam Param Giyate. At the end of Srimal Bhagavatam you will find Sudha Shavinaga Sambhadam between Shavinaga Rishi and Sudha Goswami discussing each other. This is how they judged Srimal Bhagavatam. What is Srimal Bhagavatam? Srimal Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. It's a most spotless Puranam. Why? There is no permission for karma to come in there. Karma is not accepted there. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is very, very dear to Vaishnavas, for the devotees of Krishna. Why? Yasmin, where Paramahamsyam Egam Amalam. Paramahamsyam. What is this Paramahamsyam? Paramahamsa means one who has given up all these things long ago in their spiritual life. That is called Paramahamsa Dharmam. For example, we have Brahmana Dharmam, Kshatriya Dharmam, Vaishya Dharmam, Shudra Dharmam, Stri Dharmam, Purusha Dharmam, Raja Dharmam. Dharmam has no unlimited explanations in the Mahabharatam. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Mahabharatam to explain Dharmam. But after explaining all that, this one Dharmam which stands above all that, what is known as Paramahamsa Dharmam. That Paramahamsa Dharmam means Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means swan like devotees, like Hamsam, like swan. Devotees who are in that consciousness, who had such a pure consciousness in relationship with Krishna. It is for them, it says, Paramahamsam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyade. That pure knowledge of becoming Paramahamsa, that knowledge is sung in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how it is mentioned there. Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen? Jnanam and Vairagyam. Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. Jnanam and Vairagyam are considered to be the two wings of Bhakti. Bhakti is a bird, and Jnana Vairagyam are the two wings of this Bhakti. Without these two wings, Bhakti cannot go further and further. Yatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam. Then, Naishkarmyam Avishkritam. And the karmam that you do in this situation is Naishkarmyam. Even if you have to do any karmam, there is no ownership in that. No kartrutvam, no boktrutvam. Neither I am the doer, nor I am the enjoyer. In other words, you have come out of the bondage of karmam. That is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. Naishkarmyam avishkarnam yel shrinvan. If one hears Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, vibhatan, if one studies Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, vijarana param. And if you scrutinize the instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, bhaktya vimuchel naraham, you will become the topmost devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam is guaranteeing. Sudha Goswami is saying this to Shavinaga Rishi. This is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see how different yoga systems comes in, how these things are in a subtle way presented through Ramayanam by the sages. Because if all these things were spoken directly, we will say to the sages, my dear Valmiki, don't tell me all these things. This is all stories. I don't want to hear anything from you. You can go to the forest and spend your time. I will live in my comfortable London apartment and stay where I am. You stay where you are. That is our mentality. That is what we understand today. So therefore, Valmiki took the effort to make us understand in a way. He compiled Ramayanam in such a nice way that all these underlying principles also shine through these different episodes in Ramayanam. That is what it is called Sundarakandam. Now you see how Sundarakandam brings so many spiritual thoughts behind it, that unless and until we understand that Ramayanam, the whole story, has been spoken in such a fine way that when devotees hear, because hearing about Lord Ramachandra, his pastimes and his activities, one gets purified. That is the potency of holy names of Krishna and Rama. That when Mahamantra is chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What does it do? It has got that potency to purify us. That Satugunam will build up. And when Uddhava asked Krishna, what is heaven? He asked Krishna. And what is hell? Uddhava wanted to know from Krishna. Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, this is not a very difficult question to answer. Very simple, he said. Naragastama unnaho. If tamogunam is building up in the person, you can take it that he is in hell. That is how Krishna puts it. And what else? Surga om satya gunadaya. If satyagunam is building up, what does that mean? He is in heaven, he says. So this is the difference between hell and heaven. Hell and heaven is nothing but the changes in the modes of nature. When one advances in the mode of goodness and mode of goodness is building up inside nicely, you can take it the person is moving up. In other words, he is going to higher planets or going up. He is not in the process of going down. On the other hand, naragastama unnaham, that if you see that somebody is in extremely mode of ignorance, when I say mode of ignorance, I refer to those who find it difficult to accept the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, who manufacture their own concepts of God consciousness, and they're trying to explain that. But this is the most scientific explanation of the spiritual life in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And where Krishna says very clearly, Krishna's instructions to Arjuna, to Uddhava is so valuable, he says there, naragastama unnaham. You can see the location of Naragam is also on the lower side. Go down. And otherwise, Shuddham Satvam Gunadaya, Surgam Satvagunadaya. When Satvagunam is building up, he will go up, he will not come down. Like this, Krishna answered Uddhava at that moment. So basically, Ramayanam, Sundarakandam is a beautiful canto. And Valmiki precisely gave this name to that canto because of its specific purpose of revealing the lot of spiritual thoughts in there. And then after that, there is Yuddhakandam and Uttarakandam. So next week, Sunday, we will discuss Sundarakandam. And then this one Sunday, we will talk about Yuddhakandam. And another Sunday on the Uttarakandam, the last canto and Ramayanam. And then we will come back to Srimad Bhagavatam again. So I'll stop there now. And if there's any questions or anything, please. Yeah.
So hell and heaven, it's not locality. It's consciousness.
Heavenly planets do exist, but heavenly consciousness is also has to be there, isn't it? That when he says that hell or heaven, the Krishna says to Uddhava, even in this world you can see heaven and hell. You don't have to really go to heavenly planets or hellish planets. Even in one house you can see heaven and hell. You don't even need to go to many places. For example, say in one house you find nice food is cooked. Yeah. One person, he can't eat anything. He has got all problems. Problem with sugar or problem with something else. Eh? He can't eat anything. Another person is sitting next to him and gulping everything happily. So, is it not hell and heaven? Now, if you still want to find hell and heaven, all you can do is to go to one of these modern hospitals. You will see there, somebody is cutting the hand, cutting the leg, taking the head away, putting another head in, taking the heart away, putting another head back, stitching here, stitching there, and so many machines all around you, supplying you liquids from different sides, and you are lying there comfortably thinking that I am living. Do you require any more proof of hell? Do you have to go to hell to experience hell? It's here. So probably this is why in the third canto, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, Atraiva Naraka Sorgam. This Naragam and Sorgam is here also. You don't have to go to all the way there to experience that. In other words, all these things this middle planetary system Earth has got this beauty that part of the heavenly planets is present here in some form. Part of the hellish planets is also present here. From this only you can judge that there is a higher planetary system where there is heaven, higher happiness, and there is a lower planetary system where higher distress exists.
Time or death, it means that they are
superseding the authority? No, they are not. Because to come to that stage of controlling one's time of death, one has to have finished all the karma behind it. There is no more karma controlling them. Like Bhishma Pitamaha, when he wanted to leave, he could leave his body. And so many other sages also you will find, the same way mentioned, they had the capacity to leave their body at the time they wanted. In other words, they have burned their karma completely. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jnana Agni Sarva Karmana Tamaho Panditam Buddha. This karma and karmic reaction at one stage or the other has to go from one's life. And unless and until that is finished, the power of knowledge will not shine anymore. Krishna says that Jnana Agni, the knowledge of power. In the power of knowledge, karma will burn, he says. So this is the reason that karma finishes at that point. Karma doesn't have any more impact on that life, on the life of that yogi who has come to that stage. The science of yoga system and the capacity of these yogis and the knowledge the yogis had is beyond our understanding. That was the kind of success they had in the yoga practices. Ashtanga yogam, jnana yogam, all the yoga system they have been able to perfect, and that was what was called education those days, and not getting a degree or getting a job. Okay, we'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.